Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugrupul peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombameri, Noonuckle and Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the first peoples of the land and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, still some moisture around out there. Overcast. Big black clouds. And a little bit of moisture. And still too much footage of devastation. It's just, yeah. But people are going to try and have to rebuild their lives and stuff. We've got to be thankful for those of us that are so fortunate as to avoid not be caught up in any of that. I got to say a happy birthday to my grandson, Jadari. Little Dari, as he's known, is a little darling. He's 2 year old today. He's over on Stratty. He's one of my boys over on Stratty. So I've got to say happy birthday from Pop to Dari on Stradbroke Island. He'll be over tonight for his birthday, this afternoon for his birthday party. Joining up with his all his cousins and uncles and aunties and old grandfather. So have a good day, my little man. Bring Pop a fish. He loves going fishing. His big brother, you know, he's just over 3. Big brother throws a fish back. He said, "I want to feed the sharks, Dad." Father takes him fishing, guts the fish, cleans the fish, puts it up on the bank, ready to catch some more. Here's a splash in the water, and there you go. "What you doing, boy?" I want to feed them shark, Dad." He chucked them good fish back in the water. Anyway, there you go. There's a thinking little Murray, eh? He's thinking about feeding everybody, even the sharks. Anyway, that's the story from Stradbroke Island of last weekend. My guest today, William Haywood, is joining me live in the studio, and William is the Law and Justice Advocacy Development Officer in ATSLS, the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Legal Service. Will, welcome to the program. How are you?
Great, Tiger. Thanks.
We should turn a mic on for you, I suppose. It'll help. Yeah, rightio.
Thanks, Tiger. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this country as well, and also all the Queenslanders who are doing it tough with the floods and natural disasters. And we know from experience that we'll get through it. So I hope yous are doing all okay.
Yes, we are fortunate if we're not in the middle of all that stuff. Will, tell us your mob, your country.
I'm a Noongar man, Minang Gurang. It's from the southwest of Western Australia. I've been in Queensland for 10 years, and I feel very privileged to serve alongside Murrays throughout the state in child protection and supporting our children and families.
Your former capacity, because you've been across the legal service for about a year or so now, your former capacity was with the Child Protection Peak, Aboriginal Child Protection Peak?
That's right. That's our state peak body, the Queensland Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Child Protection Peak. I was there for about just under 4 years, and work with the member agencies that deliver needed culturally proficient services in child protection. So have a good understanding of the needs in child protection.
So you would be well credentialed to go into the Queensland Child Protection Commission of Inquiry that is still running at the moment. You'd be well credentialed to represent our mob in there with your experience in the Child Protection Peak and now with the legal service for the last year.
Yeah, Tiger, I'd say I'm definitely well connected and supported by members of the Queensland community to resource me and to support me with the right messages and the right words to go before the inquiry. It's been about a 10-year journey, Tiger, for me, starting as a low-level youth worker in Western Australia with the department's equivalent there, working with young Murray offenders, and also then moving into cultural retention and preservation programs with the Wardan Aboriginal Cultural Centre in Injunup, close to Yallingup, on Caves Road, Western Australia. From there, I went into uni and started social work, and I was reluctant to get into child protection because of the historical linkages with the stolen generation and the way many of our people view that. But was lucky enough to land a cadetship and begin working with the Department of Communities Child Safety Services and work with our mob there, and understood that we needed as many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander professionals with the right skill set in the space of child protection. And things just grew from there. Tiger got involved in more high-level consultation, statewide consultations with the Child Placement Principal and other policy development. And then luckily, and with great privilege, I was able to work for just under 4 years with the Peak body, Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Child Protection Peak. And now it's almost as if it was fate, Tiger, and the stars aligned. And definitely that history has well placed us, or me in that role, to support ATSLs with the leave to appear at the Child Protection Inquiry.
It's been running for some time now, but the fact that this inquiry is being held, that's it's an indication that the system's not working all that well, and it's something that our people, First Nations people, the community, have been saying for a long, long time. Not working all that well within the system, particularly where the Department of Community Services has been failing our people and our children, but not only our children, their own children, for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's right, Tiger. There's systematic issues that need to be addressed within the child protection system in Queensland, and they affect all children that receive services from the state and non-government organisations. For us, the rates of over-representation further increase that impact on our people. So 40% of children within the child protection system are Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander. Approximately half of those aren't placed in accordance to the Child Placement Principle, so outside of their cultural family group. And there's some grave concerns about the even the immediate service delivery for children's holistic needs and well-being, as well as the unique needs of our children as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. So this inquiry is welcomed, and it's quite exciting that we're virtually on the eve of the closing submissions, and then subsequently we'll wait for the Commissioner, Tim Carmody's report and recommendations.
Now, Will, over the years we've seen First Nations communities across the country establish their own services, including childcare agencies, here in Brisbane back in the 70s and across the country. Some years ago we saw a big change in the structure of things there, and I think it was a bit of a diminishing of community control, community role, and community principles. Now, I could be wrong, but what I want to lead to is, at the same time we've had government services failing to cater to our needs, same as in health, same as in education, same right across the board, housing. So we set up our own community-controlled agencies to deal with these challenges, these concerns. And now we've got talk. After some 40 years, this year we've got the 40th anniversary celebrations of a number of organisations, health and housing, I think, and people like that. But now we've got government wanting to go back to mainstream after we've proven ourselves, wanting to mainstream us. Do you see this as the writing on the wall?
Tiger, I definitely see significant risks to appropriate service delivery models in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child protection and across other areas of our people's needs, the criminal justice system, health, housing, etc. I'd like to acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men and women who during the 70s and even prior to that have stood for the rights and the needs of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And I think it would be a great disservice if we were to erode the progress that Australia and Queensland has made in the space of Aboriginal service delivery. We are really seeing the impacts of Closing the Gap, and other initiatives starting to actually have an impact in our community, in our children and young people's lives. So there are significant risks, Tiger, that if we move away from appropriate service delivery, that the system and overrepresentation will continue to be a feature. And that's a detrimental impact to our people. I strongly think that we need to understand as a Queensland community that we're not asking for a segregated system. We're asking for an integrated child protection system. Essentially, we're asking for the right as Queenslanders to self-determine within our democracy the needs of our children, and to do that proficiently and more effectively than government and non-government. And we can do that. And I think people have to understand that we've already demonstrated through proficient service delivery in the legal arena, in the health arena, and in the child protection arena that we are capable and potentially can be a more effective public investment.
Do you have concerns about mainstreaming and stuff? I mean, I think the Howard made the announcement some years ago. I mean, how do you think it's... We've got examples, Will, of the childcare, the public community services, placing children or neglecting children. Alarms have been raised, alerts have been raised about different situations and conditions. Black families in the First Nations community have had children taken away from them, but to be placed in other areas that have been less safe and problems like this. And you would have heard a lot of this come out. This inquiry, I suppose, that's what the inquiry is about, to hear of these experiences. Do you think that the outcome of this inquiry may put paid to this mainstreaming view or this need to mainstream things by the government? The need there, they feel the need. You made the comment about integration and segregation. It is not segregation we talk about because we get better outcomes. It is not segregation to have our own schools, to have our own health services. So do you think the commission might take heed or listen to? Are you hopeful? What are your thoughts? I mean...
Well, there is a point I'd like to jump on there. You spoke about us having our own schools, and it's interesting that the coalition government is actually looking at government-private arrangements to better meet the needs of children in terms of their education requirements and school ratio for the amount of children we have in Queensland. So, I see an opportunity there for our independent schools to actually capitalise on that and demonstrate that we can provide proficient services for our children. But the risk is there that we're overlooked. And what I really have to stress is that in the Child Protection Inquiry, all the evidence before this inquiry has undeniably called for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to be central in case management and casework activities, so that they are the driving force behind interventions with children, young people and their families, and that that's done at the same standard of any other child protection intervention. I think that the evidence has come forward from a range of sources at every level within the child protection system in support of that. It is undeniable. So to move away from a service delivery model...
That works,
and... that requires enhancement and strengthening to make it more effective. To move away from that because, it might be viewed because of those design deficiencies the need to invest in strong business and governance models. To move away from that sector and not capitalise on that because... of particular views or positions around mainstreaming being more effective would be contrary to the evidence before the inquiry and would be detrimental to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. So I would be very surprised if that recommendation came out given the evidence that's before the inquiry, and I'd also be very surprised if people accepted positions of mainstreaming. What we need is a balanced system, and it's appropriate that we have mainstream investment. From a cultural competency point of view, Tiger, we spoke earlier about this, and we've strongly advocated for this in the inquiry, that there needs to be accountability in terms of service delivery within mainstream organisations. There needs to be HR structures that see the employment of Aboriginal people, strategic directions that are led and designed by Aboriginal people, and then flowing into frontline service delivery, proficient child protection services, which are co-delivered alongside Aboriginal professionals, internal within those mainstream agencies, and most importantly, effective partnerships with the community-based organisations which represent our peoples within those spaces, whether that's health, housing, child protection. That integrated model is what our people need within that mainstream space. That doesn't mean you then erode a Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community-controlled sector, because our people also need and require specialist cultural services in the space of child protection and other areas, and that's about an effective service delivery model and quality outcomes, which is more effective socially for people reaching their full potential as Queenslanders, but also importantly with the current environment, is that that's more economically sound, both in the short term and long term. And Tiger, I don't hear anyone else talking about the culmination of overrepresentation. Only Aboriginal people talk about ending it. Everyone else speaks about reducing it. And I think there's something in that. This is more than a job for us. Within my lifetime, I'd like to see within 20 years significant reductions to the point that overrepresentation is reflective of our percentage within the general population. So within Queensland, roughly at about 6%. I believe that that's achievable within 20 years, and that majority of the support and assistance the Aboriginal community could be delivered through secondary and universal supports by that 20-year period for a far less cost and far more effectiveness in terms of the well-being of our families and children.
Far less cost and an increase in the general economy of the community, of the state, because you've got more people that are capable and competent, as opposed to more damaged people who are not engaging, who cannot get involved.
Yeah, I think you're right. The barriers in service delivery are there, and it's those barriers that impact quality outcomes. Cultural competency in mainstream organisations, Aboriginal organisations, Torres Strait Islander organisations is essential. We are a diverse people, and we must cater our service delivery for those diverse needs. It's so important mainstream organisations take a lead from our professionals and our organisations in the space of child protection. One thing I'd also like to add, Tiger, is that the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community have been very mature in approaching this the Queensland Child Protection Commission of Inquiry. And we have put everything on the table in terms of the barriers to success in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child protection. We have analysed and critiqued, positive critiqued, the department service delivery structure. But we've also done that to our structure within community controlled. And I think that the Newman government and the inquiry should be proud of Aboriginal people within Queensland for doing that, because we've taken on the big issues and we put them forward as public debate to move forward with one of the strongest Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child protection systems internationally. Potentially, that's what we've provided the Queensland government. What I would say too is that all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander positions before that inquiry are valid and should be considered. But I would argue that there's about 95% agreement across all those submissions. And so 95% of the messages should be heard and considered in full.
Mainstream services that work in this environment. What's your feeling? I mean, some of them are raising the fact that 40% of our people are in care and they've got to reduce the numbers and things. But how do you feel about it?
Well, I'd like to go back a couple of steps, Tiger, because there's been some strong commitments to the Aboriginal community. I'd like to speak about a body called Combined Voices, and that was a collective of Queensland peak bodies, led and chaired by the Queensland Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Child Protection Peak, but also consisted of the Coalition of Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Human Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Human Services Coalition, and also Peak Care, QCOS, and other mainstream organisations. I'll just add that ATSLS is a member of the coalition. During those discussions, there was a strong commitment from mainstream organisations to assist in the Combined Voices effort to reduce overrepresentation. And there's been a call during that campaign for an increase in resourcing to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community-controlled sector. And in some ways, the lack of resourcing does hold back the capacity of that sector. So during those discussions, there's often been in principle support for a transfer of resources within the child protection system, whether they be allocated to mainstream services or government, to create an environment that is reflects more equality in funding. And now, I will point out that they were mainstream organisations' words, not mine. I agree with them. And I think that that commitment, in principle, is solid. And certainly many leaders within peak bodies, mainstream peak bodies, endorse and continue to influence their members around that thinking. But Tiger, I would also like to thank all the peak bodies for putting in submissions before the inquiry, many of which are supportive of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander service delivery models. So I thank our colleagues in the mainstream. But I will point out that our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations and community have been very mature and forthcoming before this inquiry, including taking the stand as witnesses. Tiger, there's more investment in mainstream non-government organisations to address overrepresentation. And I will highlight to the Aboriginal community and Torres Strait Islander community that it is my expectation that this inquiry explore the fact that there's been systematic failures across the whole system, including mainstream service delivery, and that perhaps the lack of cultural competency also contributes to failures in reducing overrepresentation. Now, we have to be supportive and assist mainstream organisations to get that right. So it's a constructive criticism, Tiger, and we've come a long way in recent years, hence that Combined Voices work that we've done. But if that commitment's there, Tiger, and we're in before an environment before this inquiry, perhaps it's an executive decision for the inquiry to recommend and for the government to consider, because there is some tension in making those decisions and reallocating and redesigning the sector. And I believe it's an executive decision, but we should accept the in-principle support and make those inroads, most importantly, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children.
Yes, no, I think that's a fair expectation and a fair comment. Too often we see the bigger NGOs taking big buckets of money for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander programs and projects and not hiring too many of our mob with the expertise and knowledge to drive these projects. They usually hire us to go in and knock on the doors or go in and bring in some of the people so they can be case managed. But they don't put people in senior capacities to drive these programs and ensure success. And that's been in the situation for a long, long time. It just doesn't seem to come into their thinking that we have people with the capacity to direct and drive these projects through, which would almost guarantee success. They're still failing in that capacity. They just bring in the field officers or the fellas to beat the streets and beat their feet on the footpaths and go around knocking on doors and stuff.
Yeah, there's some real truth in what you're saying, Tiger. I believe that organisations should be able to demonstrate that they can deliver. And I believe that ability should be assessed by a panel of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander professionals with expertise in contract management and frontline service delivery. Because too often I've seen projects be funded and developed within mainstream organisations. And then subsequently, after receiving that funding, the first thing that they need to do, and rightly do, is engage an Aboriginal and Torres Strait organisation to gather the knowledge and the guidance to get that service delivery right. And that's inappropriate. That capacity and that potential should be demonstrated before the funding is released to mainstream organisations. That's good business, that's effectiveness. And I'd have to say that I'm encouraged by this government and the inquiry that we are looking at effective business models and effective service delivery and the best possible outcomes for the investment, the public investment that's put in place. Tiger, the other issue that I'd like to raise around mainstreaming is the fact that if we begin to look at other models where Aboriginal organisations have been capacity built, one of those models is government encourages or strongly asserts that Aboriginal organisations must go into mainstream partnerships with large mainstream organisations. You know, for example, you know, the large Mission Australia's Red Cross,
Salvation Army, National Salvation, yes.
You know, brilliant public institutions for all Queenslanders and all Australians. I do not, you know, minimise that in any way, and they should continue to provide services. Many of our people benefit from that. But, Tiger, in 2013, I can honestly say that the business capacity, so the governance and proficient leadership and management models, are in place within the Aboriginal community. So if there's a need to capacity build within the child protection space, we do have proficient models within ATSLS, within QAKE, within the Institute of Urban Indigenous Health. So it would be not only against the principles of self-determination to move in such a direction, it would fly in the face of the capacity and the potential growth that already exists within other community organisations and other sectors to assist the child protection sector to grow and to become more proficient in terms of a correct or a needed investment by government.
Fair comment. What would you like to see? What results would you like to see? I think, I don't know, I never expect too much from these sorts of inquiries and that. I mean, we can look at the Royal Commission to Black Deaths in Custody and various others, and we as First Nations people have always come out getting a raw deal. But what would you like to see with the results? Looking back on it now and final submission stage of this inquiry, Tim Carmody, the Commissioner, will then go through that and come out with recommendations. What would you like to see in those recommendations, you think?
Well, Tiger, I think it's probably important to summarise the evidence that's gone before the inquiry, just briefly for the listeners, and then talk about the themes that we'll be looking at drawing out, just briefly, because we are working on that closing submission. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the Honourable Tim Carmody, the Commissioner. I think Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people must understand, from my perspective and from my experience, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have been welcome before this inquiry, and to a degree we have had an opportunity as Queenslanders to exercise a level of self-determination within this democracy that cannot be denied. And certainly the inquiry, council assisting, and other parties with leave to appear have been respectful and encouraging to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander interested parties and supportive of those messages coming before the inquiry. So I think, you know, to date, that has to be acknowledged. The most important thing now is that those messages are incorporated and heard within the final report and recommendations, and that our needs and requirements and our children's future is incorporated and a feature of the future service delivery in child protection. So we've had hearings from all over the state, from Cape York through to southeast Queensland. During those hearings, Tiger, we've we've obviously highlighted the significant alarming rates of overrepresentation as being completely unacceptable and a social and economic disaster for Queensland. We've also highlighted the fact that that overrepresentation further places stress on the unique cultural rights of our children, and that's the right to identify as an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person within Queensland. And also to be placed with your family and within your cultural group so that you have a sense of belonging and strength in your identity as a foundation so you can grow to your full potential as an adult. Cultural competency, which we've talked about already, has featured. Most importantly, Tiger, we've raised low socioeconomic and poverty status as a major influence, and the fact that we may need a buffer whilst the initiatives of closing the gap take place. And so that buffer would be the secondary system, and that could be more cost-effective and far more empowering the Aboriginal people and other cultural groups. The structure within the department in their decision-making and the culture of structured decision-making tools has been raised. We feel that those tools need to be more balanced, Tiger, and adapted to actually meet Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families' needs, and also further enhanced so that it actually supports secondary diversion, so families are given every opportunity and assisted to stay out of the statutory system and to create family restoration and healing. The correlation between child protection and youth justice is well documented in the Bringing Them Home report, and that continues to be a feature in the modern child protection system and must be addressed. Interestingly, Tiger, family functioning is often a root cause of reoffending. So the two are inseparable. There needs to be dual case management models there. We feel that the models that we've put up in terms of community control could be adapted and expanded to meet that need. The role for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander agencies being central, you know, we've strongly called, Tiger, for new models where Aboriginal people are leading case management and casework activities. And, you know, I think we need to be realistic about what we're asking for too. And we're asking for a renewed service delivery standard, where non-Aboriginal people partner with us within our organisations with tertiary expertise or expertise in other areas such as finance and governance. And they actually are employed and structured within our organisations under our values and principles, led and co-delivering with Aboriginal people. That's what our people need. You know, a model like that versus a mainstream service, you will not have the benefit of the values, the principles, the beliefs of Aboriginal people. And in some way, before this inquiry, I felt as an Aboriginal person, I've really had to explain what culture is and why it's important to our children. It's important that we live within Queensland and reach our full potential as Queenslanders. It's also very important that we have that foundation of our cultural strength, and that's a part of the child protection system. And just quickly wrapping up, we've called for significant law reform to enable more meaningful case management roles where Aboriginal people have the authority through legislation and then also the responsibility for our children. An example of that, Tiger, is the fact that we could realistically be trained and deliver within 2 years family group meetings, and we could facilitate far more beneficial outcomes in terms of cultural retention, connection with family. That flows into concepts like reunification and family restoration, which is a child protection concern. So we are best placed to run those family meetings and to facilitate community and family responses to child protection, to hold people accountable, to press back when we don't think things are right, to bring in our cultural authority with our elders and our aunties to actually help heal, but also create the responsibility and accountability within our community. We're best placed to do that. The other one would be, clear example would be cultural support planning for children's unique cultural needs as an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander child. it goes without saying that Aboriginal professionals are the best place to deliver that. It also flows into, therapeutic responses for our children. I think there's a myth here that culture seems to be viewed as an add-on or separate in child protection for our kids. It isn't. It's seamless. It's a part of our child protection service delivery. And I'll explain it now to the listeners and hopefully members of the Department of Child Safety and the Inquiry are listening. Culture is not an add-on in this space. It's seamless throughout our interventions. And I think that we must be viewed that way. It's a resource and an asset for quality outcomes. And then we've asked for also structural reform within the foster and kinship care services so that we have therapeutic models and standard models with Aboriginal principles of engagement. They're just a few, Tiger. We've also called some pretty strong witnesses that have given a historical overview that show the flux in funding and lack of resourcing. So hopefully we get some longevity in planning and in implementation. But certainly the evidence has showed that the department chose not to invest holistically across universal, secondary and statutory and went against CMC recommendations. So it's no surprise that we find ourselves with the rates of overrepresentation. I trust that this inquiry will not make those same mistakes and provide strong directives that there is a balanced model. And we've also talked about proficiently the best practice models across governance, management and frontline service delivery, both ATSLs and the Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Child Protection Peak have put up models. And I really stress to government and the inquiry that we've as a mature sectors, we've looked at the big issues here and we've proficiently provided guidance around our capability and potential to be an international renowned child protection system which produces quality outcomes far more cost-effectively than mainstream and government services. And we can do that at a very proficient standard that meets any requirement of legislation and standards of care. And I actually look forward to the possibility of working closely with the Children's Commissioner on maintaining proficient standards for our kids. So the potential's there, Tiger. We're on the eve of the closing submissions. I'm very respectful of the inquiry and other parties with leave to appear, and I'm optimistic.
All right. We've got a caller on the line, Will. Who have we got?
Yeah, my name's Ross Tigg.
Yeah. What would you like to say?
I'd just like to know which inquiry is this bloke talking about? Is Will talking about?
Yeah, this inquiry is the Queensland Child Protection Commission of Inquiry. So it's been called by the Newman government. It's independent from government. It's headed by Tim Carmody. The Honourable Tim Carmody has been appointed the commissioner. It's been running since July last year and looks set to finalise as determined by government in April this year.
Yeah, I suppose I'd like to know, who represents our community and our children in there.
Yep.
With experience, not as employees, and that's with all due respect to the current guest.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great point, and I'll just explain. It's actually, you got to view that one collectively because there's a whole range of people who have come forward. ATSLS has leave to appear, so we sit at the bar table and we'll have an opportunity to cross-examine and or question witnesses in the interests of Aboriginal children. We've also put in submissions. Fine. Other organisations have put in submissions as well.
What was that, Ross? You're saying?
No, that's very fine, but who determined the makeup of the inquiry and the terms of reference? And I'm not sure that that our children are being represented there properly. It seems to me like it's another government inquiry set up by the government with the worst track record of looking after our people and our children in the first place.
Yeah,
and I don't really think...
There always is that risk that it is another inquiry.
It's more than a risk.
Yeah.
You look at the makeup of the committee, and some of the people on that committee got a very bad track record in relation to our people. Why were those people never challenged? And why are some of them there when they've got a negative record in return to our, in regards to our children and our people?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. We need a cultural shift within the space of child protection. There is truth to what you're saying, but can I just finish that first point? We have had other grassroots people, carers, parents, children come forward and tell their stories too. And so I think it's important that you know that that individuals have come forward and expressed just how bad the system is. And one of my biggest motivations was a young lady who come forward during a community legal education and basically confirmed our greatest concerns that her well-being needs were simply not being met. And I think that Aboriginal people are really trying to change this, and we're engaging within the inquiry to
provide our families.
Hang on. Yeah, Ross?
Yeah, we've still got kids in our families. When department communities come to interview them, if they got a policeman from the kids, no, they've got to get the babies out the back door and gone because they're going to be grabbed. I'm not talking about 50 and 100 years ago. I'm talking about this year, now.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's significant improvements in the way that the child protection services engage Aboriginal people, both in the initial stages and throughout the whole time that they're engaging our families. It needs to change. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people need to lead those interventions.
The show. You've got a bloke up there running the inquiry. I think he used to be with the criminal justice thing. I mean, how long ago did that fall in a heap?
Yeah, I think, I'm probably not the best person to speak about the, I think it was the CJC, but my understanding is that body evolved into the current CMC. So, you know, often there's name changes and structural changes, but I think that was the predecessor of that.
Yeah, well, I think it's a bit of a pity that they can't find people who are going to represent our children and our community. And when they put people that, you know, that have shown a different sort of perspective at all together, and they put them on that sort of inquiry, I think it's a bit of a shame. But anyhow, best of luck to you, my boy.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. And, you know, the community actually shares many of your concerns. And what I can say is that Tim Carmody, the commissioner, has developed a relationship with many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And
yeah, well, I hope he does.
Yeah, and okay, I actually have a lot of faith.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tig.
Yeah, Tig, if I can just say, I do have faith in Tim Carmody's ability to ensure that our positions are appropriately
considered.
We can
have faith in one man, Will. The point is, we've seen royal commissions before, we've seen inquiry before, and we've got nothing.
Yep.
And that's the frustration that's coming through here.
Yep, and I absolutely agree with that frustration.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons that ATSL's sought leave to appear.
Yeah,
to
that's good. We've got another caller on the line.
We've got a voice there.
Welcome to the program. Who have we got?
Hi, it's Al Smith, Tiger. How are you?
Very well, Al.
William has said that a couple of times that we are on the eve of the inquiry. I understand that we have until 8th or 12th of March to make submissions. I'm just like to clarify if that's, well, that is true, I believe. So we have another month to submit inquiries. How important is it for even individuals and people like Ross, who just spoke, you know, to actually put their point across in writing to the Commission of Inquiry and, you know, be part of it?
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Al.
Bye.
Bye, mate.
I'll just clarify there. The 11th of March will be the closing submissions for the parties with leave to appear, and that would be council assisting the commission, the Crown, the Children's Commission, ATSLS, and I believe Legal Aid also has leave to appear, as well as other parties as part of the Heiner Inquiry, which is a part of the commission. So they're the closing submissions that will take place on the 11th of March, I believe. However, any community member can make contact with the Child Protection Inquiry, and I believe that pathway is still open. And again, I strongly encourage the Queensland community and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and non-Aboriginal people to put forward their views and recommendations, even if it's in an email and brief, depending on your role, you know, whether that's from a carer's perspective, a parent's perspective, a child's perspective. I think that that's valid, that that's put forward, and I believe that that would still be open. I'll ensure that the website's provided to Tiger. I believe it's already up on the 98.9 website.
All right. Let's hope that answers your questions there, Al. And now there's been the announcement by the federal government that there is a Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Abuse. What does that mean, Will? I think a Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Abuse. Does it narrow things down a bit as to what they, I suppose they have to somewhat. Tell us what it means and what's the opportunity for us here?
Yeah, Tiger. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate the federal government for making that decision. And it's a great decision, both historically and in the modern sense. Child abuse is simply unacceptable in our community and our public institutions. And so this is a great step forward. This comes under the banner of the National Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Legal Services, NATSLS, and Eddie Cabillo is the Executive Director, Shane Duffy the Chair, who's also the actual CEO, and Priscilla Collins is the Deputy Chair, who's the CEO of NAJA and the NT. So we've committed to some level of assistance. We've influenced the terms of reference. I congratulate the government, and NATSLS has also released a media release, which is on 98.9 FM, of commenting on the terms of reference. Government incorporated a great deal of the recommendations that NATSLS put forward, so we thank the Commonwealth Government for
that. So what's it mean to the people? We've got 3 minutes.
What it means, Tiger, is that we have a Aboriginal commissioner, an expert commissioner in the field of child wellbeing, who is a Pilbara woman. So I congratulate the appointment of professional expert commissioner, Professor Helen Milroy. So that's a great asset to Aboriginal people. What it also means, Tiger, is that the terms of reference are open for historical and modern cases of child sex abuse, where institutions, through either actions or inactions, have failed to safeguard children. This is an opportunity for healing for the victims of child sex abuse, and I encourage the community to engage the Royal Commission so that we can speak about things that are unspoken, create healing and create justice, both historically for members, for older generation. My motivation here is listening to stories of aunties and some of the atrocities that occurred to them during days in missions and reserves.
And this is only within institutions?
That's correct, Tiger.
But it'd be the church
It's public institutions as well as private institutions, and I think that's a great step. It's open to church groups, school bodies, the terms of
mission dormitories. Would mission dormitories come under this
Absolutely, and I was just about to say, please look at the fact sheet that'll be on the website, but ATSLS already has a relationship with a number of interest groups within Queensland, and that's why we've put our hand up to assist the community in this space within our capacity. So the dormitory boys groups people connected with what people may remember as the redress screen, rather than duplicate people's stories, we'd like to assist people within those groups to engage the Royal Commission if they feel that that's a step they'd like to take, as well as support them legally, as well as provide them with pathways for other external support. This is a big step for people. What people need to understand is that ATSLs and other providers will be there to assist Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in this big step, as well as ensure that the appropriate support service and community supports are wrapped around you. This is a monumental step in history. Let's document the history and ensure that is often taboo and silent is before this inquiry.
Brought out in the open now.
Yep.
Mate, we got 10 seconds. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tiger. And can I just say a final point on the Royal Commission? This is so important in both the historical and modern context, and we'll be there to support the Aboriginal community to engage in that.
All right, mate. Thank you very much. It's time for us to go. Join us tomorrow. Join us. Have a good weekend. Join me Monday.